And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is innovation. Each of my guests is discussing innovation in computers and in life. My first guest is the co-founder of the largest in-application analytics and advertising platform. We discussed innovation in the growing field of apps for mobile devices by Apple. My second guests are high school innovators who created software to recognize emotion in human speech. They won the Siemens Foundation Prize for Math, Science, and Technology. We talked to them and the Siemens Foundation president about the importance of math, science, and technology for the United States to remain competitive in the business world. My next guest is a futurist who popularized the concept of paradigm shifts for the corporate world in his book titled Future Edge, published way back in 1992. We'll discuss one of his latest theories, Innovation at the Verge. If you want to join the conversation, you can always call us at 805-639-0008. Joel Barker is one of the best-known futurists in the world. His videos on the future have been translated into 20 languages and have been seen by more than 100 million people. His book on paradigms is a business standard. His latest book, titled Five Regions of the Future, is about how technology is beginning to cluster in technological ecosystems and what that means to our future. His most recent focus is on innovation at the verge, a new place for finding the big ideas in the 21st century. Joel has received numerous awards, including two honorary doctorates back in 1928. He was identified as one of the top 100 thought leaders in personal leadership and organizational leadership by the Executive Excellence Publications. Welcome to the show, Joel. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Bill. By the way, you said 1928. I'm not that old.
I beg your pardon. I'm so sorry. Didn't want to age you anymore.
Anyway, but when you said way back when, that was kind of funny, too, because I think about my work in paradigms as just yesterday, but it really has been almost 30 years.
Well, and you've been on the forefront for all of those 30 years, but think of the changes that have gone through since you started back in 1992.
Staggering.
It is staggering. Okay. And today, innovation is recognized as the single most important ingredient in any modern economy.
Definitely.
Your topic that we're going to discuss is called Innovation at the Verge. So first of all, define for my listeners, what do you mean by the verge?
The verge has a very simple definition with very profound meaning. Verge is where something and something different come together. So we talk about a convergence. That's what we're talking about. But the key for my work is I have been looking at innovations that are made by taking two different things, very different things, bringing them together in such a way that you have a third thing that nobody ever thought of before that creates a whole new platform for innovation.
All right. Well, let's start with something simple. Give us some examples, and the example that I like is gift wrapping paper and paper bags, how they converge to show your innovation on the verge.
And what's so sweet about that example, Billy, is because you would think it was obvious, and yet it was 100 years ago when paper bags were invented. By the way, the patent was a woman who invented the brown paper bag.
Wow.
1938, Hallmark came up with the idea of gift paper. 1986 is when the gift bag was patented. So that says that, you see, a lot of people look and say, well, that's obvious. Well, clearly it wasn't. 38 to 86 is 50 years before somebody said, you know what, if you put those two together, you would get a really neat, innovative way to wrap things. And that is one of the hallmarks of innovations. Innovation at the verge is they're all around us, but you've got to learn how to look at them. And so in my work, what I do is I give people lots of examples so that they begin to see and get a sense of, oh, you mean you put really different things together. Brown paper bag, gift paper, boom, all of a sudden you got it. By the way, a huge margin. Profits all over the place with gift bags.
And that's one of the other beauties. We'll come to that a little bit later, the commercializing of all these ideas. But I think examples best show what you're talking about.
Yep.
And you were listening earlier, so you know that we had Rana Sobhany, who is one of the leaders in developing these applications for the iPhone, yep, iPod Touch, and for the iPad as well. One of the other examples that I like is Apple's iPod. So tell us how that really is innovation at the verge.
Well, and by the way, the App Store itself is an innovation at the verge. But if we look at the iPod, Apple, a computer company, says to themselves, you know, maybe we could get in the music business. Now, that's a verge, right?
Right.
Computer company, music? No. Everybody kind of laughed at it and said, hey, you know, Apple, this is a totally different industry. You couldn't possibly compete successfully. They went and made a partnership with the musicians. not have allowed their music to be on MP3 before, all of a sudden said, oh, if Apple's doing it inside iTunes, I feel safe enough, I'll put my music on that. I think the Eagles were one of the really big groups to do that. And all of a sudden, here is Apple, by the way, playing in the other territory. Not their it's not computer territory, it's music territory, bringing their skills and creating a paradigm-shifting, revolutionary innovation at the Verge, the iPod, which changed everything about music.
Well, the interesting thing about this, Joel, for me, is how Apple took this idea and really leveraged it into a brand new product line, and it didn't jeopardize their fundamental business, which at the time was computers. So talk to us about innovation at the Verge and what it might mean for a company cannibalizing its own product.
Yeah, what's interesting is you don't. In fact, you can't, because if you are verging with another, you know, into another territory, as, by the way, Apple did it with iPhone too, didn't they?
Yes.
They walked out of their territory, went into a totally different territory where they had no presence. So zero cannibalization for Apple. Now, that doesn't mean they didn't eat some other people when they got over to the phone business, but that's a different story. That's about competition. So one of the things that I love about innovation at the Verge is if it fails, your main business just keeps right on going. It doesn't make any difference for you. So it's actually a very safe way to innovate, even as that is, it's actually a very efficient way to innovate.
It is. We're talking to Joel Barker, everybody. We're talking about innovation at the Verge. And Joel, one of the things that I found really interesting and compelling about your work is that it was influenced by nature, specifically different ecosystems.
Yeah.
So what does nature have to teach us about innovation?
One of the things that actually I started my research in, I was reading ecological stuff for the Five Regions of the Future book, right, which is about technological ecosystems. And what I kept reading was how at the intersection between, for instance, a coral reef and the ocean, or between a rainforest and an open area, that the highest rate of innovation in ecosystems was at the edge, where these two things were bumping together. And what you saw as you looked at some of the examples is the animals would adapt to be able to take advantage of the other ecosystem, and in the adaptation, they would create a mutation, you know, a new capacity that they didn't have before, much like the Apple inventing the iPod and creating a capacity to store music and to download music. So Mother Nature's been doing this for hundreds of millions, if not billions of years, because there's actually an argument that single-celled creatures of, you know, algae with chlorophyll combined with bacteria who did not have chlorophyll and produced a hybrid, literally an innovation at the Verge, that was a much more powerful single-celled creature than was before.
Hmm. We're talking to Joel Barker, everybody. And Joel, people who are listening to the sound of your voice are probably saying to themselves, all right, this sounds very logical. I see the progression. I see where you're going.
Yep.
But I am not a biologist. I am not a botanist. How do I systematically identify things that are on the Verge that I can take advantage of in my small business today?
By the way, let's give an example of a small business.
Perfect.
Well, do you ever watch Cash Cab?
No, but I know what it is, okay. And I have seen it in the past.
Okay, Ben Bailey, a stand-up comedian who was not making it, sat down one day and said, I really want to be on TV. What could I do to do it? I'll do it. What if I did a game show? He had no money, so he said, okay, how about if I do a game show inside a taxi cab? And that's what his game show is. It's called Cash Cab. He picks up people on New York streets. When they get in, the ceiling lights up, and he says, welcome to Cash Cab. Do you want to play the game? And he has a show that runs daily, completely sponsored, on cable. I'm sure he's making millions of dollars. A single businessman who saw an opportunity. So one of the things about innovation at the Verge, it has nothing to do with scale. You don't have to be an Apple to do it. You can be a Ben Bailey. Now, here's the question you have to ask yourself. When I'm with my clients, I say, first of all, list your strengths. What are you really good at? Okay? Then you ask a simple question. Who in a totally different field, totally unrelated to what I do, could I combine with to bring my strengths to their situation and make them better, give them an innovative leverage to do that? And you would be amazed, once you start thinking that way, how many potential opportunities show up. Let me give you just one example.
Sure.
Two MIT kids, freshman year, they're doing research on shock absorbers. And one of the kids says, you know, every time that shock squeezes, that oil goes through that little hole just really fast and hard. I wonder what would happen if we put a little electric generator in front of the hole. It's called GenShock, and literally they're going to start going on trucks in about another 2 years, and every time that shock absorber moves up and down, it's producing electricity, which will improve the mileage of the trucks by as much as 10%. Two kids, no other resources than just seeing this combination, putting it together, and they are now in business producing something that will probably save millions of diesel fuel gallons, you know, per year because of what they did. Simple as that. Seeing something, an electric generator coupled to a shock absorber, that's crazy. No, it isn't. It's innovation at the verge.
And we're talking to Joel Barker just about that, innovation at the verge. He's the best-selling author of Paradigms. And, Joel, you've got a systematic way for approaching this. You've got a quadrant system that you teach about how people can logically and systematically approach this.
Yep.
Can you briefly go over that for my listeners?
Sure, right. And by the way, anybody, you know, this is all on the video, too. So that's if they want to get this in, you know, in detail, they can always take a look at the video. Okay, think about my territory, the other territory. Think about high competition, low competition. Then there are a couple patterns of movement. Pattern number one, I actually talk about FedEx, in which they went to, Fred Smith went to other, he didn't have a company. So he went into the other territories, found the key pieces, small jet planes, small packages of high value, and a logistical system that could track those expensive packages so he didn't lose them. He brought them together at the verge and created FedEx. The key thing is no competition. He had a monopoly advantage for almost 4 years as UPS sat there saying, well, that's not our business. And now they know it is. Okay, that's an example of one way, of one kind of innovation at the verge, pulling elements just literally out of the world, bringing them together, even though they don't look like they should go together, to create this. Second example, basically partners over there, which is what Apple did. Apple said to AT&T, we want to partner with you. We'll build the smartphone. You'll sell it. You have your expertise. We have our expertise. We don't want to learn your business. We want to let you do your business. We'll do our business. But when we come together at the verge, we will create a technology and innovation that nobody else has. Then the third one is over and back, and a really good example of that is Toyota with their Prius, where they had to go get battery technology, control technology, computer control technology, regenerative braking technology. That wasn't in the auto industry when they got started, but they brought that back to their industry and, again, created a no-competition car. Honda had something, but it wasn't near what the Prius was. So for all intents and purposes, they owned the market for 3 years, and picked up all that leverage because nobody was following them. By the way, now they're chasing pretty hard, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yeah. Ask Chevrolet of the Volt. Yeah.
Yes, the Volt is there, and the Fusion by Ford, both great cars, by the way. But notice they're following in the wake of Toyota because Toyota understood innovation at the verge.
All right, so that's three of the four. What would be in the fourth quadrant?
Well, the fourth one is enhancing, and coming and going on this one, but if you think about what software does for people, you take somebody who has drafting skills, and those skills stand by themselves, and I can work at a table and do that. And the software people came over and said, we're going to enhance your capacity. Well, in a sense, the computer, a very different thing than a drawing board, comes into play with the draftsman's skills, and the draftsman puts his skills kind of overlays them on the software, and all of a sudden he can do wonderful things he couldn't do before. But his skills really dominate the process. The computer can't draft. You know, it can't think for him. So in a sense, that's a softer innovation at the verge, but it still is a kind of innovation at the verge. I do see one other place where software is getting very interesting to me, which is using games to teach. You know, you were talking to the Siemens.
Yeah, the Science Foundation winners, yes.
I will make a prediction that within less than 10 years, the majority of the important learning that's going to go on in education is going to be games-driven, simulation-driven. And we will look back and say, do you remember when we used to read stuff out of books instead of do it in virtual time, in virtual reality? That will be an innovation at the verge when it hits.
Wow. We're talking to Joel Barker. We are talking about innovations at the verge. And Joel, let me give you one more example that will hopefully tie everything together. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a product related. Talk to me about the partnership between General Motors and the Center for Disease Control.
Isn't that a great story?
It is.
And by the way, you're right. What it illustrates is this isn't just about things. It's about processes and concepts. GM had a significant problem with quality on one of their lines in Wisconsin, and the vice president who was in charge of that one day ran across an article that initially didn't mean much, but as soon as he thought about it, it did. That was that the Center for Disease Control had showed up in Michigan in a town nearby where he lived, and in 72 hours figured out where the food poisoning in the elementary school had come from. He says to himself, let's see, it takes me 3 months to figure out that I got a problem with my line. They figure out where the darn disease came from in 72 hours. Maybe they know something I don't. So he called up CDC. CDC came up, talked to him about their protocols for uncovering infection disease. GM adapted it. By the way, you almost always have to do some adaptation. They adapted it and knocked their time from like 62 days down to less than 10 days, saving literally billions of dollars every year because CDC had a way to look at their problem. Now, who would think that the Center for Disease Control would influence the way General Motors ran their lines and looked at their quality? But it did.
Certainly not I. Joel Barker, it's amazing how quickly the time goes. If people are interested in learning more about you, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
They can go to joelbarker.com, and there's a right next to my picture, there's a place called Good News Blog. So if they want to read, I write about every couple of weeks. I toss out 10 to 15 pieces of good news. And in there are innovations at The Verge. And then there's a click to go preview the video if they'd like to see it, if they want to know more about innovation.
Great. And we're going to have to leave it there, Joel. Thanks so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Billy.